You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. One title, one state, and thousands engaged in literary discussion. That is the motto of the Great Michigan Read. Every other year, the Michigan Humanities Council announces its choice for the Great Michigan Read. It gives us all a chance to connect by reading and talking about this one book. And it is time. It's time to announce the 2017 Great Michigan Read. Shelley Kasprzycki is the Executive Director of the Michigan Humanities Council. Welcome to the program, Shelley.
Thank you. We're delighted to be with you.
I cannot believe that it has been 2 years since Stateside had the pleasure of announcing the choice of Emily St. John Mandel's Station 11 as the Great Michigan Read. Where has this time gone?
It's gone so quickly, and what a great book that was.
Before you give us this latest selection, how is the book chosen? Who decides?
Well, it's actually quite an arduous process. We have regional committees that are comprised of various literary folks from around the state. They're regionally focused, and they choose from a selection of books and then come together a few months back in the fall and make a final selection. And it's really done very carefully to ensure that we have a book that will appeal to a wide audience and that it has value that will add to the humanities experience for everyone in Michigan, and also will work well for programs that will go on to accompany the novel itself.
Yes, because there's going to be a lot of events going on in conjunction with the Great Michigan Read.
That's right. We host a variety of experiences all across libraries and community centers in Michigan, each unique to that community. So it's a big part of why we choose the novel.
And are we talking about Michigan writers, Michigan subjects? What's the Michigan tie with the Great Michigan Read?
That's a very important point. We always choose a book that has a focus on Michigan, and sometimes the author is actually from Michigan, sometimes not. But the focus has to be around Michigan and issues and cultural aspects that focus on our great state.
So with that, we will do a pretend drum roll, and the 2017-2018 Great Michigan Read is?
X, a novel. This is a wonderful book written by Ilyasa Shabazz, Malcolm X's third daughter, and Kekla Magoon. It's a wonderful young adult novel that will appeal to so many folks, young and old, and will really look at one of the most influential African Americans in history.
People may not realize Malcolm X, before he was Malcolm X, he was Malcolm Little growing up in Lansing.
That's correct. He grew up in this community and had strong ties around the Michigan area. So the novel does address part of his life here in this community.
Spoiler alert, I was privileged to read it over the past weekend. And I have to say, it opened my eyes to so many things. And it takes us from Malcolm's boyhood in Lansing through his years growing up as a street smart teenager, or learning to be street smart, in Boston and in Harlem. It hit me in a way I didn't expect.
Indeed. It's a book that some people may have some preconceived notions about, but in fact, when you read it, and it's a quick read, it's an enjoyable, fast read, you see that there's a lot Malcolm X faced as a child and what led to the person he became. And we thought it was a fascinating choice for Great Michigan Read.
What do you hope readers will get from reading X?
Well, we hope that they develop a better understanding of the person that he was and what he became, choices that we make in life, understanding how a prominent figure can really come from a background that may not have been what we all consider leadership material, but indeed does lead us to become leaders. And so I think it speaks to all communities in how we shape young people and what comes out of adversity.
The Great Michigan Read for 2017-2018. It is X, a novel by Ilyasa Shabazz and Kekla Magoon. And you can get all the details on the book and all the activities surrounding the Great Michigan Read by going to MichiganHumanities.org. Shelley Kasprzycki, always great to talk with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And now it is a pleasure to welcome the author of the newest Michigan Great Read. She is the third daughter of Malcolm X and Dr. Betty Shabazz. She's an activist, a motivational speaker, an educator. And her book, X, A Novel, is the winner of a 2016 NAACP Image Award and now the newest Michigan Great Read. Ilyasa Shabazz, it's a pleasure to welcome you to Stateside.
How exciting. Thank you so much. It's such a pleasure to be on the radio with you guys.
And congratulations on your novel being chosen as a Michigan Great Read, because what a great platform for sharing the story of your father's life as a boy and a young man in the state where he was raised.
That's right. You know, it's really been such an honor for me to do so.
The world certainly knows who Malcolm X was as an African-American Muslim leader and a human rights activist. But your book is a great reminder. There's an important formative life before someone becomes an iconic figure like your father. In this case, Malcolm Little of Lansing. And I bet people have forgotten that your father, many people may have forgotten, your father had very strong Michigan roots.
That's right. And I think a lot of people forget that he was a child before he was this activist, this human rights strategist, and that he spent a significant amount of his time, his childhood, where he got his foundation, the place where he was raised by his parents, right there in the state of Michigan.
So tell us a little about the family, the Little family and their life in Lansing in the 1930s.
My grandfather and my grandmother, they were very young activist parents, and Malcolm was, I believe, their seventh child. You know, they had a very pivotal role in the Marcus Garvey movement during the Jim Crow era, and that was the Universal Negro Improvement Association. And so they were fighting for basic human rights, quality education, quality housing, and it was important for my grandmother to instill specific values of literacy, self-love, compassion, and for my grandfather to instill, you know, specific values in their children. And all of my uncles and aunts said that their father was, you know, to them very much an invincible figure. And so, you know, it was a wonderful childhood. And I say, much like my own, having been raised with five sisters, usually when you have many siblings, you know, it teaches you how to be a good friend. And Malcolm, you know, he had a great sense of humor. They say he was a born leader. You know, he could get anyone in the family to do whatever he wanted. And, you know, so it was a good childhood. It was a good foundation.
But the book does open at a very trying time for the Little family, because your grandfather had died in what was said to be an accident, but the family believed otherwise.
That's right. This book is for young adults, so it begins with my father's adolescent years, and his father had been killed by the Ku Klux Klan, the Black Legion, which was a splinter group to the Ku Klux Klan. And, you know, just the challenge of all of, you know, the Jim Crow era, his mother was being challenged with raising so many children during the Great Depression.
And then we see him leave Michigan because the options just weren't there. And I think that was really moving, as I read it, to realize what life in Michigan was like for a young Black man in the 1930s and a young man in the 1940s, that there. Where could he go? What could he do?
That's right. And I think the biggest blow to Malcolm was being in school and telling his favorite teacher that he wanted to be a lawyer. And, you know, he could have said, I wanted to be a musician. He could have said an athlete, a police officer. But he wanted to be a lawyer because it was how he saw his dad, saving others, helping others. And when his teacher, even after Malcolm being top of his class and being the class president, his teacher told him, well, Malcolm, you have to be realistic. You are nothing but a Negro, and Negroes can only be carpenters and persons using their hands, not their minds. And, you know, you think how crushing that must have been for this young man who didn't have his dad or his mom to say, Malcolm, you know, you're great. You can do anything. Your life matters. There is significance. And, you know, having to put your head down and relocate. You know, it speaks to many young people who do not have role models or parents or adults in their lives to guide them and encourage them, you know, of their value and self-worth. And so Malcolm goes to Boston to live with his older sister from his father's first marriage, and he finds his way in Boston. And so we get to journey along with a young man who is in pain. And I, you know, say that when young people are in pain, they don't say, let me go get a quality education. Oftentimes, you know, they listen to loud music, they drink alcohol, they smoke cigarettes. They make often self-destructive decisions, choices. And so it speaks to the importance of us smart adults, you know, to guide them properly.
Elias, I have to say, you know, when you say that what that teacher said to your father, what he said to Malcolm, who are this boy is the top of the class and is told that, and what that does to someone's spirit. And everywhere Malcolm turned as a child and a young man, he was shoved down, and so was his family. And I'm wondering, what was it like for you diving into those very painful times so you could write about them?
Well, you know, there are so many young people who are in these challenging places. And I thought that it was important. You know, so many people look up to my father. And if you can recognize these moments of self-questioning, who am I? What is my value? You know, am I valuable? What is my worth? To think that you are nothing and no one, and you can't aspire to be but so much, it hurts. You know, my young nephew, Malcolm, he used to always say to me, Auntie, my life is a lot like my grandfather's life. And I would think, what are you kidding me? But he was right. You know, he was given a very strong foundation, and then society beat him down. And if you don't have people to protect you, and oftentimes young people of color, they don't have people to protect them. And so it's a story that's so common, and it was a story that I felt compelled to share.
Did that experience of really digging into his boyhood and his young adult years and writing in the first person, you wrote it in his voice, did that change the way you see him?
You know, it just makes me love him, my father, so much, and appreciate that in spite of the challenges, look how far he went. Look what he was able to accomplish. And so I think, again, that his life serves as such an inspiration. I admire, completely respect, honor everything about my father. And so it makes it easy for me to do the work to make sure that his legacy is properly recorded and also that it serves to inspire so many young people.
Ilyasa, some people might most remember Malcolm X for his white devil remarks and the by any means necessary approach to countering the structural racism in our society. And as incomplete as this image is, because we know his views change, what would you say to people listening who are wondering, why should I read this book?
Well, you know, I mean, let's just be real. Look at the challenges for Black people, you know, when they were brought here. Let's just really look at what was slavery. You know, it was psychologically traumatizing to live your life enslaved for generation upon generation. And to give this shock value, you have a people of color who believed that they were inferior. And then you had white people who believed that they were superior. And so you have, you know, this whole nation, and really not just this nation, but even abroad, being miseducated, being denied opportunity to fully evolve all of your senses. And to have this young man come along and tell Black people who believe that they were nothing, that your life matters, that you have a history in spite of what we had been told for so many centuries, that you have history, that you built the pyramids, that you came from Africa, that it wasn't a jungle, that there was no Tarzan, there needed to be some shock value, but also understanding and recognizing Malcolm's leadership abilities, that he was in his 20s when the world learned of him. He was 39 by the time he was killed. But with all of these challenges against him, Malcolm finding his power, Malcolm finding his leadership, finding his humanity, being compassionate and caring enough to not only read everything that you can imagine so that he could be equipped to educate a miseducated people, but to take on that responsibility. It really says a lot about a young man with all of these obvious challenges in the 1950s and 60s against him. Malcolm was one of the first individuals that introduced a human rights agenda to the civil rights movement. He said, you know, while people were marching and demonstrating, asking to integrate schools and housing, all these different opportunities, privileges, whatever we want to call them, Malcolm came along and said, we demand our human rights as your brother. And so I think when you put all of that in perspective, that you come to appreciate this very young man in his 20s, in the 50s, who took on this burden. He traveled the world searching for solutions to the human condition that would want to psychologically traumatize or oppress, you know, their fellow brother, sister, child, just because of color.
What do you hope the people who will read this book, Read X, A Novel, because it's a Michigan great read for 2017, yes, 2018, what do you hope they'll gain from that?
Well, I hope that they will find their power, that they'll recognize their humanity, that, you know, the way my mother raised us, which I'm sure was our father's values as well, is that we are all brothers and sisters interconnected under the fatherhood of God, under the fatherhood of our Creator, and that we will be able to see that we're all human beings. And let's live together. Let's work together. Let's cohabitate peacefully.
Ilyasa, before you go, would you read a short passage for us from your book?
Okay. I am my father's son, still and always. He named me, and I will carry the name just as I carry a part of him. What I don't want is the stamp of the white world on me. That I must fight against, throw off the shackles of past ugliness, buck myself free, for that too is Papa's legacy and something I must carry. I bend down and sign the letter to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Malcolm X. The guards may come for me, the devil may come, the chains and the darkness, all the wrongs of the world may come, the noose, every force that thirsts for the destruction of the black man in America. I am my father's son. They will always come for me, but I will never succumb.
Ilyasa Shabazz, along with Kekla Magoon, the author of X, A Novel. It is the story of her father, Malcolm X, focusing on his boyhood in his young adult formative years and beginning in Lansing when he was Malcolm Little. The Michigan Humanities Council chose this book as the Great Michigan Read for the 2017-2018. And you can get details on the programs set up for this by going to michiganhumanities.org. Ilyasa Shabazz, it was such a pleasure to talk with you today on Stateside. We want to thank you for spending time with us.
Thank you so much. And really, at the end of the day, it's just about self-love and loving others.